Thanks for listening to the podcast from Jonathan Combs and the preaching team at Eastgate Community Church in Rocky Mount, North Carolina. Check us out on the web at eastgate.church for more. And now, here's the sermon.
So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. A few days later, the son packed up all of his belongings, and he moved to a distant land, and there he wasted all the money in wild living. About the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land, and he began to starve. And he persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him into the fields to feed the pigs. The young man became very hungry, that even the pods that he was feeding the pigs started to look good to him. But no one gave him anything. And when he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, "At home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare, and here I am dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and say, 'Father, I have sinned against you and against heaven, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant.'" So we're going to pause it there. That's not the end of the story, but it's a long story, and I've got an attention span of the Nintendo generation, so like, if there's not stuff blowing up, I'm lost. So let's do it in a couple of bits. So that's the first bit. So at first, I want to explain that the way we're going to take this is we're going to chop it up into three pieces. We're going to use those three pieces as to how we can respond to God's love. I said a second ago that we were going to talk about a little bit of difference between what a parable is and a fable. Parable teaches us God's kingdom. Fable teaches us man's kingdom. Fable, written by a dude. Parable, written by Jesus, God. Right? So they're similar, but they're not the same. And there's a lot of fables and stories that you might hear that sound right to you and sound like mantras that you can live your life by. But compare them to the Word of God and take them that way, because in a lot of cases, they don't really teach the same thing, the notion of an eye for an eye, right? That's a man thing. But we can kind of hang on to that, because it's, that makes sense. If somebody gets me, I get them back. It feels right to us. It's because we're sinful. So that's the difference. So there's a couple of them that you know, probably. The tortoise and the hare is one. The tortoise and the hare, that's a fable. It teaches if you're tortoisey, right, just stay the course, man. Stay the course. You'll win eventually. Or if you're the hare and you're very talented in a field, it'll teach you if you rest on that, you'll get beat. Both those are true, but they only help us win on earth. They don't get us anything past this. We can't slow and steady our way out of our nature, and we can't outrun our nature. The other one that that I like is the boy that cried wolf. Boy that cried wolf teaches you. Oh, Sophia knows this one. Apparently, she is well versed in the boy that cried wolf. Oh dear, we'll get to you in a minute when we get to repent. So the boy that cries wolf. You know the story. It's the little kid that cries wolf, 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 and he tells the same lie so many times that when the wolf really does come, nobody believes him. Again, a good story, but only applicable to us here on earth. Right? However, this is a different kind of story. This parable is going to give us heavenly insight. That's valuable. And so let's get into it. So in the first part of the story, we only took the first chunk. We've only met two characters so far. Spoiler alert, there's three characters. This is the younger son, which implies there's an older son. So the younger son goes to the father. You know the story. So his sin is kind of twofold. His sin is, one, he takes all the wealth and he takes it away from the family to just go spend on himself. We all can kind of identify with that, as that's kind of messed up. I will say I have a little bit different take on this, because we, as Americans, we're kind of used to like children growing up and moving away. In back in the day, like, children kind of stayed around the home. It was a lot more important. So some of you, like, if you're from the, like, deep south like I am, you kind of understand there's a contingent of people still that really don't ever move outside of, like, 10 miles away from where they grew up, and they know everybody. And, you know, that kind of is the feel that this culture had. This guy doesn't just leave. He takes a bunch of stuff that the family has accumulated, and he sells it all, and then he leaves. So he cuts all their resources down, and then he just kind of goes away. So that's one of them, and that's the one that gets talked about a lot. The second part to that is he just wastes the money. It's not like he goes and starts his life. I think maybe the father would have dealt with this differently if he had, you know, just set up shop and started living in a way that was sustainable, but he didn't. He goes off into a land that he doesn't know, and he just sort of spends all the money, and then he's sort of lost, and now he's in trouble. So it's not that he asked for the money only. It's that he didn't really appreciate it when the father gave it to him. So he ends up in a whole different place, and then he spends all of his money, and then suddenly a famine hits the land. I don't know if any of you have ever fantasized about like living in oldie times. The number of times I've had to deal in current times with the sentence, and then a great famine came, is like zero. It happens all the time, man. So like you can keep that. I'll keep the grocery store where I can just get like bread when the hurricane comes. That's our version of the great famine, is like a snowstorm's coming so you can't get milk. So his life, he was living it up, and then suddenly his money runs out, and then there's no food. And so the little jobs that he was doing get scarcer and scarcer, because anybody is working now for anything they can get. And so suddenly work gets very, very short. And then he gets a job feeding pigs, which is gross. If any of you know pigs, they're disgusting. And so then he ends up, I want to say there's a little video here. Hopefully there is. Come on, Mitt. Help me out, brother. Maybe not. Oh. So just imagine for a moment what you would have to be dealing with in your life to look at that and go, boy, I can, yes. All right, quick show of hands from the kids. Who's going to eat this? Who's ever going to eat again? I will say this is like, that video does strike me a little bit of like, I've seen some humans cook food that kind of look like that. So I don't know what it would take for me to look at that and go, yum. I have to assume starvation. I have to assume that when I can see all of my bones, that's when I'd be like, give me some of that. So this story, though, he runs away. It doesn't just end, the first part doesn't even end with that. There's something very important that happens. I do want to point out that this is a parable, so it is a story. So this dude doesn't really exist, except that this happens all the time with us and the actual father. That we're, you know, it's easy to judge this little dude for doing some dumb stuff, but just substitute his dumb stuff for your dumb stuff, and you're right there with him. I'm right there with him. And I've been in places where my physical money didn't run out and a physical famine didn't come, but my spiritual currency ran out and a spiritual famine came, and I had to do what he does. Like a dummy, I tried to do it by myself for a while, and then I came to my senses as he came to his senses. So, I want to, they use the word wild living. That gets pulled out a lot. And so I want to kind of downplay that a little bit to what the actual problem here is, what the actual sin here is. It's not that he went out and lived badly. It's that he hurt his father. Like, imagine for a second what his father's got to be going through. His son's out there. He probably knows there's a famine in the world, and he's just hoping that his son's okay. That's the same thing I do to God. See, the sin is not what I'm doing. The sin is looking God in the face and saying, I understand you got a plan. I want no part of it. I understand you've got something you need me to be doing. I'm going to do my thing. Especially when I was young, I was guilty of this because I would say, well, I'm going to do my thing for a while. And then when I get old, like the church people, then I'll start doing God stuff. And unfortunately, in my life, I've lost a lot of young people. My friends growing up, a lot of them ain't here with me anymore. And so that's a fallacy, just in case you young people hadn't figured it out yet. Like, don't do that. But it's not all bad, because he comes to his senses. I need a couple of like young, sprouty volunteers who are now feeling fidgety because we've been sitting still for like 20 minutes. I'm with y'all. I can't sit still for 20 minutes. So, all right, jump up. Anybody that needs to kind of wiggle and something, come up here. I'm going to need you to help me out for a second. Sophia, come up here. Kylie, come up here. So that's the only two people. Okay, adults, if you need to stand up and fidget too, you don't have to come up here. You can just like do it over on the side or whatever. Oh, yeah, got some. All right, so here's what we're going to do. Do you know the army, how they march? All right, so here's what I need y'all to do. I'm going to have y'all march this way. And in the army, whenever they need to turn around, they'll say, about face, right? This is a mint illustration. You can see mint all over this one, but I like it, so I'm keeping it. So it's about face, but instead I'm going to say, repent, right? So here's what you're going to do. You're going to march this way, and when I say, repent, you spin and go back to where you started, right? Got it? Ready? March, 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 repent. Back to where you started. March, 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 march. Oh, sorry, buddy. March, 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 repent. March, 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 right? So that's how repentance works. So y'all can go ahead back to your seats. Thank you so much. You were awesome. Way better than all the adults that just sat in their chairs and left me lonely in my illustration. Adults are the worst. So that's how repentance works. It is just, I'm going my own way. You know what? No, I'm not. I'm going back. I'm going my own way. No, I'm not. I'm going back. That's what it is. It's just turning around and going back to God. That's really cool. In order to do that, you got to be open to God in the first place. You got to be able to hear God. You got to be able to know what it is God is needing you to do. So that's the first step, is to repent, turn back to God, start being able to listen. Gary does this cool image where he does the hand grabbing, opening to God thing. I'm stealing it. If you know it, you know what's coming, but if you don't, it's pretty cool. Open your hand to God, receive God's plan, God's power, God's forgiveness. I want it. You can't shake your fist at God and get anything. Closed fist. Open fist. Give me, please, God. So the son has repented. He's gone back. He's got this plan in his head. He says, I'm going to give my father a Shakespearean soliloquy. And he is going to take me back as one of his servants. That'll work. So let's see what happens. Verse 20. So he returned home to his father. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son. And he embraced him and he kissed him. And his son started his awesome soliloquy. His son said to him, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I'm no longer worthy to call your son. But the father said to his servants, Quick, bring the finest robes in the house and put it on him. And get him a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet. And kill the calf that we have fattened. We must celebrate and feast, for this son of mine was dead and is now returned. He was lost, but now he is found. And so a party began. Son doesn't get halfway through the intro paragraph of his 5-page dissertation before the father is like, Shh. Get this boy washed up and in some clothes. My son's home, y'all. But he took a lot of our stuff. Yep, but we still got a fatted calf. Kill it. Cook it. It's time to party. This is crazy talk in the world. But this is the way God's kingdom works. God's kingdom works contrary to the way the world works. Kylie, come here for a minute. I need your imagination. Are you ready? Come on up here. Ready? All right, stand here. Close your eyes. And I need you to imagine. You ready? All right. Imagine, if you will, that you were at home and dinner's cooking and I am knitting because that's what I do in my spare time. I'm doing some Sudoku because I sit still very well. And mommy's out back splitting wood because that's what she does just for fun. We don't even have a wood-burning fireplace. And you're in the house and you're getting hungry. But what's being cooked, it's not really something you like, or maybe it's just what you've arbitrarily decided you don't like anymore. Truth, parents, right? And so you go into the cupboard. You know dinner's cooking. You go into the cupboard. You see a box of cookies. And you decide, you know, I can do this without getting caught. So you start eating cookies. You eat the whole box of cookies. And then your phone goes off. And then we know you're in the pantry because your phone just went off. And so we catch you. Sound effects presented by some random person's phone. And so you turn around and you got crumbs all over you. And I'm standing there and mommy's standing there. And we brought in all your uncles and aunts and grandparents. And they're all standing there because we've been standing there a long time. And you were busted. How do you think that goes for you?
Badly.
Badly? That's fair. What if I told you that that's not the way the kingdom of God works? What if I told you that God just takes that sin that you just did? So that sin, incidentally, is not that you ate cookies. Is that you full well knowing you shouldn't decided to, right? That's the way sin works. We think about it like the little, like, oh, I messed up again. Or, oops, I said a bad word accidentally, or maybe on purpose, but kind of accidentally a little bit, or whatever it is. But those are the sin of people is that we look at God and we know what is wrong and we do it anyway. And God, in this scenario that we were just in, you're gonna catch some unholy shenanigans coming at you, right, for doing this kind of thing. God just takes it. He forgives it. He pays for it. And then he still makes sure you get good food. And then what you didn't know was that we were planning to go out for ice cream after. He still does that too. That's the way God forgives. It's good that he's heavenly, because if we did that on earth and then you ate ice cream too, you'd probably throw up. But in the metaphor, that's the way God forgives. He doesn't just forgive when we go back to him. He rewards us for going back to him, right? Like this dude, he throws a party when his son comes back, right? That's pretty cool, right? Thanks, man. So we're back at the house. Father's throwing this huge party. What I want to point out here is that the father doesn't say, welcome back. Finally. Oh, I've been worried sick. You had me worried sick for 2 long years. I don't know what he sounds like. That's in my head. He's cartoon Ebenezer Scrooge. What did you do? You wasted all the money. This guy, no, he runs across the property. He runs to the horizon. He brings him back in. He celebrates full on. It's not like, we're not going to talk about this anymore. It's not like I'm going to hold on to this and the next time you mess up, I'm going to bring this up. The next time you ask me for something, I'm going to be like, oh, like the first third of my property that you squandered away? None of that. He's full on, you're my son again. Real quick, go to 1 John 1:9 if you have like a speed searcher or if you're super good at flipping actual pages. If we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. To cleanse us from all wickedness. Romans 8 supports this. Romans 8:1, there is now no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. This is the truth of the gospel. This is the truth of the Bible. It's not behave well. It's not follow these rules. It's you're mine. I can make all things right. I've already made the sacrifice that fixes all this. That's if we receive that forgiveness, if we let that forgiveness into us. Amen? Let's get to the next little bit. Because here's what I want to point out. The story's not over. A lot of times when we like teach this, that's where they chop it. But there's another part. And this is kind of why I wanted to call it the lost son instead of the prodigal son. Because there's two sons. And ain't neither one of them perfect. All right? So here we go. We're at verse 25. Meanwhile, the older son was in the fields working. When he returned home, he heard music and dancing in the house, and he asked one of the servants, "What's going on?" "Your brother's back," he was told, "and your father's killed the fattened calf, and we're celebrating because of his safe return." And the older brother was angry, and he wouldn't go in. And the father came out and begged him, but he replied, "All these years I've slaved for you and never once refused to do a single thing you told me to do. And in all that time, you never even gave me one young goat for a feast with my friends. Yet this son of yours comes back after squandering your money on prostitutes, and you celebrate by killing the fattened calf." His father said to him, "Look, dear son, you've always stayed by me, and everything I have is yours. We had to celebrate this happy day, for your brother was dead, and he's come back to life. He was lost, but he's found." If we're honest with ourselves for a second, we all identify with the older brother. Jesus has the Father giving him a lesson too. He doesn't stop at the younger son came home. He keeps going to show how those already in the family reject that celebration. That sin is the exact same as the youngest son. "I see what you're doing here, and I'm not doing it." Same thing. What is interesting to me is that he doesn't resolve this. Jesus doesn't. He never tells us whether or not the oldest son ever goes into the party. He doesn't tell us whether or not the oldest son just harbors resentment in his heart for the rest of his life. And the two brothers never really get along. Maybe even eventually the oldest son just walks off because he just can't take it anymore. And you know what? He's already gotten the inheritance. He could. It doesn't tell us that. And it doesn't tell us that his heart was softened and that he came in line with his father. I think that's on purpose because we got a choice to make. So be honest with yourself. Do you identify with this older brother a little bit? You do. I do. Yeah, but he's been working so hard and he gets nothing. No. He gets the kingdom. He gets everything. So what we perceive as nothing is just no reward right now. I lose sight of the fact that I get heaven, that I get the kingdom. That's incredible. Ephesians 5. "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you." Thank you, God, for forgiving me. I didn't deserve it. I didn't work on your farm long enough to earn it. You just gave it to me too. Thank you. I want to tell a story. Don't research this one too much because it'll just make you mad. At least it did me. Sometimes I say, like, look this up afterwards so you can see I'm not just making it up. But this, like, I couldn't have made this up, okay? The date is July the 12th, 2018. I don't know if any of you parents knew this. July the 12th, 2018, Build-A-Bear, y'all know what Build-A-Bear is, had a program called Pay Your Age Day, where children could pay whatever their age was to get a bear. Is there like a picture of the lines of this thing? This is one mall. Incidentally, this was not a one mall thing. This was Build-A-Bear. So it was every single Build-A-Bear, not just confined to America. It also happened in London and England. Here's the news report. Lines get so long, people start cutting in line and pushing and shoving. Police have to urge Build-A-Bear to close down because of public safety concerns. We look at kids when somebody cuts in line and they're like, oh, they cut in line, it's not fair, and we make fun of them. Well, life's not fair. Move on. They had to shut the program down before malls opened because it was getting violent. These are not the kids getting violent. These are people my age. Like, we assume that as we grow up, we grow out of these idiotic sensibilities of fairness and position in line mattering. Truth check. Here we go. Don't raise your hand because I don't want to put anybody on blast. Who are my road ragers out there? You're out there. You are absolutely out there. That's a human in front of you. Yeah, they cut you off. But yeah, they can't hear you screaming. Your kids can, though. The older brother had the father's love. You know what he wasn't willing to do? Is give it to the dude his father was asking him to give it to. He was just bottling it up for himself. This is what we do a lot, too. We get this message, we get this incredible gift, and we go, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, and now share it. Nope. Now put it into play in your life. Put your rage away and put your anxiety away and put your, whatever it is, just fill in the blank. You know what the blank is. Away. I don't like talking to people. That's my thing. I hate talking to people, y'all. You'd have no idea. And I'm happy to talk to you here, but just informationally, 20 minutes from now, I will go to sleep, and I will sleep till tomorrow morning just because, like, being in a room full of people is exhausting to me. And so when I'm at some place and I'm like, oh, that dude looks like he needs to pray. Yeah, but then I'd have to talk to a human. I now have to make the active choice. Oh, I got you. It's still not my nature. God's blessing is not meant for us. It's meant for us. Us. All us. And the people that have their fists clenched against God can't hear it because they're not interested in it. But they can hear us and they can see us. And that's why it's so important that this hand opens too, that we receive with this hand, and we give with this hand. That's what this story is about. And if we're honest with ourselves, we're probably both sons at some point. But Jesus is giving both of these illustrations to the Pharisees who've chosen who gets to be in the family. A I don't think it was by accident that he chose these two archetypes, paradigms. I don't know what the real word for that is that normal humans would know. These two kids. These two dummies. But he gives it to us in a way that leaves it open-ended for us. So now we get to decide. If you are the son who's out on their own, and you've just completely wandered away from God, not only does he wish you would come back, he desperately yearns for you to come back. He misses you so much. He loves you so much that he's going to throw a celebration. It says, all heaven celebrates. If that's you, all you have to do is go back. Even if you think you were never there to begin with, you were. Because he crafted you. He made you. He designed you. Or if you're the other brother, you know, I'm doing good. I'm following the rules. Be in line with the Father. It's not about taking care of the crops. It's not about taking care of the livestock. It's about being in line with the Father. I once was lost, but now I'm found is one of the prettiest musical lines that's ever been written, in my opinion. And it perfectly sums up me. Let's pray. Father God, we're scared. We're scared because we think that we've messed up past where you can fix us. We're scared because we think that we've wandered so far away from you that we can't hear you anymore. You can't hear us anymore, and now we're just alone. We're scared that we can't fix the parts of us that are holding us back from you, and that we keep trying, and we just can't fix the parts that if we just could fix this one thing, then I'll be okay, and then I can go to God. Then I can accept God's love for me if I can just fix this one broken piece in me. Help us to understand that not only do you not require us to fix that broken piece, you don't want us to fix that broken piece without you. Truthfully, we can't fix that broken piece without you. The without you part is the broken piece. And it doesn't matter if we're 38 years old or 8 years old. You're holding your hand out to us like we're your baby boy, your baby girl. And you've got tears in your eyes and you're just waiting for us to turn around and take your hand. And if that's you, don't wait anymore. Do it now. Father God, I'm a sinner. I've turned my back on you. I haven't looked for your life. I've looked for my life. I've chased my dream. But I don't want to do that anymore. I want you. Please forgive me of all the stuff I've done that's hurt you. I'm yours. The really incredible news is not only will he forgive us? He's already forgiven us. It's just that we gotta accept the forgiveness. It's already there. Don't you be afraid. Or if you're the other son, trying. I'm doing my best. I'm in the one-year Bible study, and I'm reading the Bible in the morning. But I see these people coming into church. I think, you know, I'm doing all this stuff right, and they're getting all the acclaim just for showing up. Or I see these people at work, my neighbor that's got garbage all in his yard. He's going to get what's coming to him. That's not your thoughts, God. You've already rewarded us. Help us to keep a sight on that. You've got an incredible reward in store for us. Because we are your children, but you want a big party. You got other kids out in the world who are lost and scared, and more than that, you're scared for them. The one thing I notice in this story, in retrospect, is the older brother never goes out to look for the younger brother. He just stays where he's comfortable. Help us to not be that, Father God. You left the end of the story open for us to decide. Help us to open our hands and give back to the world. We love you. Amen.